D1.
Number 11B.
Terrific. When I begin to sit quiet, the long evening night, winter night, you see, when I begin to say to myself, now put away all material conceptions, put them away. Don't start with the world. Don't start with you. Don't start with your body. Don't start with what you have to do tomorrow and next year. Put all away. Free yourself of all material conceptions. And say to yourself now, if there is only one being, the Infinite One, and there is nothing besides the Infinite One, then I come to divine science, says, well, what is that Infinite One? And I get the divinity sense of it, the divine touch of it. Because in science, on the level of science itself, principle doesn't say I'm life, I'm truth, I'm love. These are already divine aspects of that divine principle. Because principle doesn't say I'm life. Principle says I am principle. Life, truth, and love are already concepts which we have of the nature of divinity. And as we need them still and are not yet completely there where science is, we reduce that level of science itself to divine science. And something within me says, when I listen, says, you know, the one being is self-existent, always self-existent. It doesn't need to be made existent. It doesn't need to be brought into existence. I don't need to demonstrate that existence. It's existing by itself, infinitely, because the one word, the one life, all exists out of its oneness, out of itself. And this existence is an infinite existence with infinite individuality because it is one and so comprises and encircles and encompasses and embosoms everything. It is one life, one being, one existence, self-expressed. And that comes to Christ, self-expressed. So it just pushes me to the Christ that that existence is self-expressed. It looks after itself. It expresses itself. I don't have to express it. I don't have to make it express. I don't have to demonstrate it. I don't have to translate it. It does it by itself. It's self-expressed. And it expresses itself as the ideal of that life. That's why the Word is the Word of the Christ. It's the Christ of the Infinite Word, says, I express that word, that self-existence, infinitely. I am the one truth, the one truth. And if I stay there in consciousness, I know that this is the one truth, therefore the truth about everything. Then the thought is pushed further to Christianity, and we come to Christianity, where we see what can Christianity be on the level of divine science, on that level of oneness. Christianity is always the effect of the Christ idea. Therefore, it shows me that God and his idea is one, that God and man coexist, that man is not something existing besides God, but it is co-existent. That the existence of God is the existence of man, and the existence of man is the existence of God. And so that I don't have to make any distinction between them. I know, therefore, that love is that infinite self-fulfillment and self-reflection of itself. Infinitely reflect that's infinitely fulfilled in being. That there is no occasion, no circumstance, no position, no problem that is not fulfilled. That it is not one with God. And I get the sense of all in all. Love that is all in all. When she speaks about that Christianity sense in divine science, it's mostly about that unity of God and man correlated, God and man inseparable, inseparable. And when she speaks about that inseparability, it is usually the divine ego that she mentions. The divine ego. That which says that the ego God and the ego man are inseparable. They can't be separated anymore. So that the I, the true I of man and the true I of God is the one and the same I. And that's the Christianity sense in divine science. Where I begin to realize that man has no other I, no other ego, but that ego, that I, with it, which is God. That's the Christianity sense. The unity of God and man. Then I come to science, in divine science. And this is quite an impressive tone when we go through her textbook. What usually I do naturally is that I take all the references in the textbook on, say, on divine science, and I study them and compare them, try to see what is the touch she gives here in divine science. Here, when she touches the tone of science in divine science, she gives a sense of one harmony. Of one harmony. See, it's oneness. Well, what can science bring out in oneness? Harmony. If our thought is quite logical and just stays with the categories, one just can feel what it must be. She talks here always about harmonious and eternal being. Is found in divine science. In divine science, the universe is harmonious and eternal. See, now it's the rhythm of being, the dynamics of being. But because it is on the level of divine science, it's oneness. So if you have the dynamics of being in oneness, it's concord, it's harmony, it's the reign of harmony. And so she uses the reign of harmony always together with divine science. She calls the kingdom of heaven, she defines as the reign of harmony in divine science. And she defines New Jerusalem as divine science, the kingdom of heaven or reign of harmony. Can you hear? It's the reign of harmony. It's the one concord. But it isn't something which we have to learn. It isn't something which we have to memorize. It's something which we can feel by ourselves, because we have the mind of Christ, and if that mind of Christ is cultured in the categories, we know, all right, in divine science, which has nothing to do, only to do with the oneness, well, science must be concord, harmony, the reign of divine science, the dynamics of being in harmony, the eternal cycle of harmony, all that. She speaks of the government of the universe, divine science as displayed in the everlasting government of the universe. She speaks of the unity of principle and spiritual power. You see, oneness, it's oneness. Unity in science, science has to do with principle and its operation, and says, therefore, there is unity between principle and spiritual power. They are not two. It's not two, principle and practice, theory and practice. They are one. in oneness, there is our one. And so he says about the unity of principle and spiritual power constitute divine science. It impresses one so tremendously to be lifted right into that sense that when one begins to realize oneness from the point of view of science, then that principle which is always operative is one with that which is the outcome of that principle, spiritual power. Something else is becoming clearer and clearer in the text when one reads these passages, namely that in divine science, when one comes to science, everything operates through the synonymous terms and not through the ideas. Terrific. I will come back to it at length in a extensive way, perhaps next weekend or so we are together, because here she shows that because there is oneness, and oneness hasn't to do with principle and idea, see, just with oneness, therefore only with the synonymous terms, that in divine science, when you touch the fourth side, science, you begin to realize that that divine principle operates as the full scale of the synonymous terms in the four ways. Just seeing that mind manifests itself out of itself, and through itself, not through its idea, here, and as itself, not as idea, and to itself. This is just an indication, and it will grow on our thought in a beautiful way, in a tremendous, powerful way. So, let's just keep in mind these four tones: Word, Christ, Christianity, and science on the level of divine science. But it's practical. It's consciousness. What consciousness? It's the consciousness which says, I start with science itself. I can't start anywhere else if I want to deduce logically. That science itself says, I am the infinite principle, infinitely expressing myself. All right, as what? The moment I ask, as what? I ask for categories. The first categories are Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. The fourfold unity. That fourfold unity tells me, as the Word, I am the self-existent being. I am the infinite individuality of being. I am the infinite one life. But that infinite self-existence has a Christ. It expresses itself. It is conscious of itself. It has one consciousness. It is the one truth, the truth itself. And therefore, because it is conscious of itself, it's conscious of everything. And therefore, I touch Christianity and see that all is included in that one Christianity. That there is nothing outside. That Christianity is the oneness of principle and idea, namely coexistence of God and man. What does happen within that coexistence of God and man? It's the divine principle love which says only science reigns. Only the divine principle reigns. And that reigning is one grand concord. It's the reign of the universe. It's the reign of harmony in divine science. It's the reign where principle and spiritual power is one, where principle has spiritual power and operates as spiritual power. That's divine science. So we go further to the next stage of absolute Christian science. Here again, we have Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. We don't look at the synonymous terms yet. We just ask ourselves, what is the difference of the Word now in absolute Christian science compared with in divine science? The Word in absolute Christian science must have a different office, or it wouldn't be in a different category. Quite clear. What is it? So, we just have to remember what is the purpose of the level of absolute Christian science. We said the purpose is to show up the relationship of principle to idea. Now, what is the relationship of principle to idea when I have the Word? The Word in absolute Christian science, well, what can it be? What must it be if the one self-existent life is expressing itself to the idea? It's self-revelation. It reveals itself as the Word of God. It's the infinite revelation forever going on, so as to reveal the self-existence in infinite ways. That's why we have revelation. Revelation comes from the very fact that the one life which is self-existent in divine science expresses itself in infinite way, because it's infinite individuality, and so reveals existence in new ways. Therefore we have the newness of life here in the Word. Word gives us a sense of the newness of life, of the spontaneity of life, the spontaneity of expression. See, it shows the outcome of that one Word in divine science. So whenever I want to have revelation, whenever I want to see newness of life, I better start right on the top of the Word in divine science, where it says, well, being is self-existent. And if I see that being is self-existent and self-expressed, then it must express itself as infinite revelation. It comes to me as the Word of revelation, the polar magnet of revelation, as an exalted sense of being, as a new sense of being. If it always comes new, it shows the relationship of principle to idea. We go further to the Christ. The Christ here gives again the relationship of principle to idea, namely a self-realization, a self-demonstration, so to say. We had on the top Christ in divine science, we had the Christ as the self-expression, which says the Christ expresses itself, truth expresses itself. But then when you ask, what does it express? Then you say, well, it realizes itself anew and anew and anew. It is the self-demonstrating power of truth. It's the self-realization power of truth, which takes away all the burden from me by saying, truth says, I realize myself. I realize myself in every idea. I realize myself in every condition. See, that on the top we have the one truth, the one consciousness. Well, the one consciousness includes all, is all-embracing. But the moment I ask, but in which way, in which specific way, in which ideas of truth does it express itself, then I must have the self-realization of truth. That truth says, I'm going to realize myself. I'm going to show up the truth about everything, the specific truth about the situation. And so, instead of having just, as in divine science, the one truth, I have here that one truth reveals to me, through the world, reveals to me every right idea of truth. It reveals to me the truth about the situation, the truth about the specific case, the truth about this or that or the other. It is, therefore, the true mind reading, that true spiritual diagnosis, which from the point of view of truth can see the specific truth about the case, the specific truth about the situation. Can you see the relation of principle to idea? So, or here we can see that truth is really that first translation which says, I translate myself always to the point of individual ideas, to true ideas, to the ideal form of everything. To the ideal form of everything. The ideal form of health, the ideal form of relationships, the ideal form of joy, the ideal form of happiness, the ideal form of satisfaction, the ideal form of completion, the ideal form of government, the ideal form of everything. Let's see again the connection of divine science to absolute Christian science. In divine science, in the Christ, you have just the sense that being is truth. Being is truth. The one truth. The only truth. The all truth. But then you want to know what is the truth about this and that and the other situation. You want to know the specific truth in a situation. Well, that is the Christ that comes in, and therefore it is Christian science. It's no more divine science, it's Christ science. The Christ is that which reveals, through the Word, reveals the specific truth and the specific ideal form of a proposition. Or we take Christianity. Christianity is perhaps here self-reflection. Self-reflection, self-demonstration of the divine ideal. Why? It shows in the Christianity as divine science. You see, I always go now back to the top. Christianity and divine science. We had the coexistence of God and man, the all-embracing sense of love, which just takes in all into one. And now thought asks, but what are the specific expressions of this one? And so we find an infinite self-reflection within that one. Where I begin to see that the whole nature of deity is reflected in each idea of deity. That I have not just one encompassing whole, but where I begin to see that each situation, each idea, each proposition, each problem, each condition is an infinite reflection of the whole. Then I have a sense of Christianity in absolute Christian science, where I see that each situation is reflecting life, truth and love, that each proposition is a demonstration of life, truth and love, that each problem which I find is a proof of life, truth and love. Each idea is reflecting the whole. And then we have the last science, and there we find science which has always to do with the harmony of being, with the true relationship in being. Therefore, I think we have here the self-interpretation of God. On the higher level of divine science, we had the reign of harmony. We had the unity of principle and spiritual power. But when that unity of principle and spiritual power, when that reign of harmony wants to show what is the reign of harmony, of what this harmony is constituted of, then it needs interpretation. And so we find here the self-interpretation, because self-interpretation means that the one principle of being always interprets to us in a specific situation what is the right thing. It is the self-evidence of being. It is showing its own evidence everywhere. See, it isn't just saying there is one concord, one harmony, one reign of harmony. But when it is expressed in individual cases, in individual situation, in individual conditions, then it gives evidence of its power, of its self-demonstrating power. So that we have here that sense of self-interpretation and self-evidence.